This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Well, you know, we always love to hear from you over here at Kelly & Company, so definitely feel free to leave us a message, 1-866-509-4545. Please mention it's for Kelly & Company. Mention it's okay to play your message on the air, otherwise we won't. 1-866-509-4545. You can also find us on Twitter, at AMI Audio. Then you can follow along with what's coming up on the different shows here on the network and see what's happening. Maybe you have a question also. That's at AMI Audio on Twitter. And you can also venture over, check out the Accessible Media Inc. Facebook page. Lots of great happenings over there, conversations, things for you to read up on and get heads up on all things coming up. Great place for the AMI Connect where people got to learn a lot, check out the videos and things like that that were created. A really good time was had by all, and a real wonderful place to learn about everything that is going on here at AMI at the Accessible Media Inc. Facebook page. I'm Kelly McDonald, hosting your Thursday edition of the program with Danielle McLaughlin.
Kelly, let's talk audio entertainment and tech with our good friend, Michael Fair.
Hi, I'm Mike Fair. iPhones, iPods, and iPads are everywhere, and they're doing great things for the blind. We explore all that, plus audio entertainment, dramas, podcasts, internet radio, and games. We share it all on Kelly & Company.
Well, hello, Michael. How are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, hope you guys can hear me.
Yes, lovely to hear you. So this year's Worldwide Developers Conference keynote was so packed that even covering changes made to iOS will take a second segment of Kelly & Company. Users of modern iPhones have a lot to look forward to. Before we get into more features, can you explain why only more modern iPhones will get some of the new features?
Well, we're coming up against two big changes that have happened recently and are now being more fully exploited. And the first one is the ultra wideband chip that is used to help locate objects and direct communications more narrowly. So has changed a few things. And then we have artificial intelligence. The big thing is the artificial intelligence has gotten to a point where it's kind of dividing the haves from the have-nots a bit. And the more modern iPhones have the artificial intelligence, what they call a neural engine, sufficient to do the learning on the fly needed to power some of the features that are made available. So the older phones just aren't going to have the horsepower to make these features work as quickly, as smoothly as Apple thinks that they ought to. And so the cutoff line seems to be the 10R. Anything with an A12 chip should be fine for the artificial intelligence stuff to make use of it. Anything below that, getting into the territory where probably not for some of the more modern features.
Okay, so it's also not going to require actual access to the internet too, right? It'll work without it, and that's, I guess, what we're seeing with the power needed.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, because these chips, everything is happening on your device now, and there's a lot of different things. For example, the speech, the voiceover features I was discussing with the live text and the enhanced ability to describe and identify objects and things. That is all requiring artificial intelligence and a library that it's learned from to be on your device. And is that's the only way it can happen with enough speed to make it not clunky. So that's very important when we're navigating websites and everything else with images. We don't want to wait and wait for an image description. So
no, exactly.
There comes a point where you really need that horsepower to make use of these things. And also Siri, it's a big thing with the live text when it's doing that same thing for images and out of pictures for everyone else. And then Siri, the capabilities that has received due to this neural engine and artificial intelligence built into the device are pretty incredible.
Hmm. Well, so why is it so important to have Siri do more offline without accessing the internet?
Exactly.
Well, a couple of things. Dictation is number one. You can dictate for longer stretches. There used to be a 60-second cutoff, and now there isn't. So you could just dictate theoretically a whole paper, right, and just keep going, and it wouldn't cut off. Because what used to happen, of course, was speech would go out, get interpreted, and sent back, right, and then be processed on your device. Now it's powerful enough to do all that processing on your device, so there's no trip out to the internet, and that it gives an incredible speed boost and also privacy boost. You know, it's a lot harder to spy on anyone when nothing's leaving their device. So there's no more recording of your voice beaming out onto the internet just so you can call someone or tell Siri to do something. It doesn't need to do that now. So that's going to be a big, big boost in speed.
Yeah, you can find that. Sometimes when you dictate a text and you'll hear it coming back clunk, 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 and a lot slower. I gather that's as it does the return. What happened to Spotlight Search?
That has gotten a big boost thanks largely to live text. So now it can look in photos as well as everything else. Apple really wants you to think of it as your personal Google for everything on your device.
Right.
So it will look through all your stuff, all your contact information now. There's rich sort of information results for contacts. So it doesn't just find the thing you look for. It finds all the information on whatever contact that you search for. So you have it all there, email, phone, whatever you might need. And you don't have to go rooting around anywhere else for it. And now, of course, it can peek into photos. And if there's a photo with a recipe with text in that photo, it will recognize that text and then be able to get you that recipe right from in Spotlight Search. You'd never have to leave it to do all these things. So that's going to make it a lot more useful to people than it was.
Amazing. What's new with Wallet?
Wallet is getting more of what used to be in your wallet. You won't have to carry anymore, presuming all of this works as advertised. Digital Wallet can now hold not only your payment information like it does now for Apple Pay, but also coupons from stores. You can be able to scan those in with QR codes and such, and then just hold your phone out, use everything with Apple Pay. Transit passes, you'll be able to go through turnstiles with just your phone, right? Hold out your phone and bing, you get through a turnstile for getting on buses. Wow. So a lot of things like that. And keys, that's the big one, keys to everything, hotel rooms, employment offices, things like that. Your phone will be able to have the information to let you in. And that's all thanks to the ultra wideband chip. That's why it's needed for the wallet stuff particularly, so it can transfer that information securely. And personal ID is another big one, passport, driver's license. When states and countries decide to support that, then that will be available too. And it will only send the information required.
So
it's
that's
going to be more and more dangerous to lose your wallet and to lose your phone. Yeah.
Well, that's what you're saying about the security, right, Mike?
Yeah, that information will be, you'd need your face ID to access that. So anyone could have your phone, but unless they have your face along with it, hopefully that's somewhat hard to manage.
Yeah, hopefully we're not giving anyone ideas.
Exactly. But they won't be able to get at all that information unless they have what it takes to get in. And you have control over that to a large degree. So it should be actually fairly secure.
Okay. What about the weather app?
Weather is getting a bunch of visual stuff, new graphical maps, which show air quality, rain, precipitation chances, things like that. It's going to be a lot richer in terms of information than the older weather app. And I don't know how much of this is going to be accessible to VoiceOver at this point. I haven't heard any talk about that yet. I've kept an eye out for it. So we'll have to wait and see. But it sounds like they're really feeling the heat from third-party apps, and they're putting in some effort to beef up what they offer.
I would like it to tell me the water temperature in different spots on the beach. That would be very handy.
Apple is in California, so given the reputation for surfing that I've heard there, that might be on the radar. I wouldn't be surprised.
That would be nice. And what's being added to Maps?
Tons. Maps is getting a lot more detailed information. It's getting an interactive globe with details about oceans and other major continental features and things all over the world. So you'll be able to explore that interactively. Rich labeling is a big one that I think will have benefits for blind people. The more detailed information about landmarks and labels means they're easier to find by searching and easier to sort of explore a region with maps and find out what's there. Transit information, mm-hmm. a bunch of all the stations are being put in there. So that, again, will be very handy, especially when combined with the wallet. You'll just be able to zip around with your iPhone, letting you into everything and, you know, opening turnstiles and deducting the funds from your account and whatever else it needs to do to keep you moving. So lots there that I think will be good for blind folks who use iPhones to help get around.
What about the Notes app?
Notes, that's one of my favorites, actually. As petty as it sounds, they're going to really beef this up. They're going to add mentions and tags. So mentions are, you can leave an at sign before a name, and you'll be able to say, hey, at Kelly, look at this. And then that note will be shared with you, and you'll get a notification saying, hey, you have a shared note with Mike who said, look at this. And you'll be able to add to that and go, oh, wow, it's kind of making it sort of a social connection point where people can edit notes together. So that should be really handy. And then mention tags, rather, is you can tag notes. Instead of putting them in separate folders like you have to do now, you can just add little tags like hashtag KellyCo to a note. And then there's a note browser that lets you look at the tags, a tag browser, and an activity view that lets you look at the shared notes. So you can keep track of all that much more easily, much less effort to keep organized.
How private would that be? I mean, would that be available, for example, to Twitter users who follow Kelly?
No, because that is limited to your notes. So anything you hashtag, those hashtags are not Twitter items. They're items that the Notes app will then have access to. So even if you share a note, those notes will only go to the other people you share it with. Apple's really concerned about security, so you can pretty much count on that. But just because it has a hashtag doesn't mean it's going to find its way out on Twitter.
Okay, good. Yeah. And
go ahead, Danielle.
I was just going to ask, what improvements to Apple ID are coming?
Yes, this is a couple, and I can't wait for the stress relief of these two. They're going to let you add other people to two things, a recovery list, so if you ever get locked out, they'll be able to get a code that doesn't let them into your account, but is what you need to get back into your account. So all those people who struggle to remember their Apple ID and password, that is another layer of convenience and safety that, thank goodness, they're offering, because I can't count the times I couldn't help people because they couldn't remember their Apple ID and were locked out. Nice. The other thing is legacy. After someone dies, what happens to their digital stuff? And this will let family members added to a list that you can determine. They'll have a code or something that lets them in to your Apple account so that you can then tell Apple, hey, stop charging, this guy's dead, be able to access the stuff without all the fuss that they have to go through now. Because that's been a stressful point for people, trying to get into someone's iPhone. And Apple, of course, very security-minded, is loath to just let that happen without really making sure that it's not going to come back to bite them. So this is a really welcome addition, both of these.
Yes, it is. Especially for families.
People. Yeah, yes. Things like that. If some learning disabled people, I literally could not do a thing to help because they couldn't remember their password or one of the pieces of information, and they were just stuck until they called Apple and they had to help.
Oh, dear. Yeah, well, I guess there's a whole lot there. Boy, oh, boy.
Yes. What a whirlwind tour. And that's just a fraction of, people don't get how dense this one was. Like, that's just a small fraction of what they announced in that keynote.
Boy, oh, boy. Well, I guess there's plenty more to come over the weeks ahead about information revealed during that conference, which wrapped up last Friday. Thank you so much, Michael.
Absolute pleasure.
Michael Fair joins us every Thursday to talk audio entertainment and tech. And boy, does he have a lot to talk about.
Well, you know, we talk about security with you all the time, and obviously a main concern if so many of us have to have, Danielle. But we're seeing these companies really seemingly taking it for real. Again, don't know what it does for internally, what they gather in their own, but for at least outsiders being prevented from getting at your info, they seem to be working very hard to discourage that.
That's my hope. It's a serious issue, and somebody's got to be paying attention.
You betcha. We'll take a break, ladies and gentlemen. UK's Fern Lulham is up next, and she's going to share some thoughts on her recent eye surgery and the impact that frequent hospital appointments can have on relationships. We talk to her in about 2 minutes. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.